I'll speak to you this morning on the subject of the wise men. I'm just going to use that short title. Actually, I have written down here, and this is the primary reason that we're speaking on this subject. The Lord showed me these things many years ago. And every now and then on Christmas or during Christmas time, I speak on I don't know how many different Christmas messages that he's given me, but he gave me this a long time ago, and I've tried to apply this in my life, and I felt like that it's something he gave me to share in order so that we and others might be able to hear and share this particular subject. And actually, the title that he gave me was Why the Wise Men Were Called Wise. And so let's begin reading with Matthew chapter 2, and then we'll go back and talk about some of these things as the Lord provides the time, and we'll try to get it all together and do whatever he wants us to do. Amen? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, and that word means right there, behold means to consider. You need to think about this and consider it. That wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, he asked them, where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. No one that I know of, any of us, anyone I've ever known, wants to be called or considered dumb. All of us, to some degree, want to be considered smart, right? Or, in the words of the Bible, we want to be considered wise. We don't want to be foolish, and we don't want to be a stupid person. Now, it's true that we've all done some stupid and foolish things in our lives. Somebody say amen? Most of the time when we have done or spoken foolishly, we did not realize what we were doing most of the time. For example, we would willingly destroy or tear down. We wouldn't really tear down or destroy something or someone we loved or cared about. Yet many of us have done just that in our foolishness and stupidity. We have turned our husbands, or hurt our husbands and our wives, our marriages, our children, and even ourselves. Especially do we not realize that the God of this world, Satan, is working in and through human beings to fulfill and to fill our thoughts and our minds with worry, doubt, fear, anger, frustration, thoughts of failure, being no good, discouraged, and many, many other things. We don't realize that usually till the Lord reveals that to us. The enemy will also cause us to speak evil, destructive words, do things, words, and actions that help to destroy those we love and to cause them to be filled with the same negative thoughts, words, and discouraging feelings that he attempts to fill us with. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So there's a lot of people that we're praying for out there to some degree, those especially that are lost. They don't even know what lost means. They don't even know they're lost. They don't even know they need to be found. Right? And so we need to pray that God would open their eyes and help them to see. Also, we know in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, that we were to pray that God would grant those that do not know him repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the evil one or the devil. So there's things that we need to do that the Bible tells us that we need to do these things in order to be wise. Actually, this is the very reason why the Word of God instructs us to speak evil of no one and to watch what we say or we speak, so that we won't be snared by the words of our mouths, and that our tongues are a very evil thing filled with deadly poison, as James says. We need to be careful, because any of us, even though we're Christians, can get in the flesh, right? And speak things and say things about others or even about ourselves. The enemy can sometimes put thoughts in our minds. In fact, the battleground is our mind. Again, I wanted to say something first because I think that the Lord told me to, first thing he told me to say about this morning, because when he said they saw a star, we have a lot of people today that get involved in the stars, horoscopes and astrology. In fact, they even have names for all of us that are born by on certain dates, like Aquarius and, you know, different names. And so I want you to realize, and I want them to realize and understand, that God didn't put the stars in place and the planets in space so we could worship them and allow them to try to control our lives. That's stupid. That's one of the most dumbest things we could ever do, actually. The Bible tells us in Psalms 19 that the heavens, God created the heavens to declare his glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. So, he didn't create the heavens and the earth so that we could worship them. He created the heavens and the earth so that we would worship him, the creator of those things. Amen. My oldest sister, Donnie's, wrote a poem years ago. I looked for it. I thought I had it in my computer or if I had it somewhere in my house. I couldn't find it. But he did bring to remembrance one of the verses that she put in that poem. And it went like this. I was once an amoeba floating in the sea. Then I was a monkey hanging by my tail from a tree. And now I are a professor with a PhD. So if anybody believes in the evolutional theory, that's about what it works out to be. An amoeba floating in the sea, a monkey hanging from a tree, and now they could think they're a professor with a PhD, right? The Bible tells us, offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And He tells us that in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. And to do good and to communicate, because with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen. Why were the wise men wise? We want to learn. I think they were wise, first thing that the Lord gave me here, looking at verse 1. They were wise in that they were searching for the Lord. They came all the way from Jerusalem to Jerusalem from the east. They said, "Where is He?" They weren't searching for a religion. They weren't searching for a new teaching. They weren't searching for some kind of an experience or a church or a theology or a philosophy. They were looking for a man. They were looking for a person. Where is He? We have seen His star. And so in order to be wise, we have to come seeking Him. And that's not just a one-time thing when we find Him. That's once we have found Him and He becomes our Savior, He's supposed to be our Lord. And so we're supposed to consider Him and search for Him every day, commit our lives to Him. And because He is our Lord, and we know that He knows a whole lot more better how to take care of us than we do ourselves. And we can put our trust in Him because He said, "I love you. I gave my Son for you. I want you to become one of my children so that I can become your Heavenly Father and I can take care of you and supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus." Amen. That's why we enjoy being Christians. That's why we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we did that because, like the wise men, we weren't searching for a religion or a denomination or a doctrine or whatever. Now, a lot of people have that today, but they weren't like the wise men. They weren't seeking Him, the Lord Jesus. They weren't seeking a person. Now, I realize that when I was young, and when I came to the Lord, I didn't realize that I was seeking a person either. But I realized that when I came, His Word told me that if I would come and call upon the Lord, Jesus Christ, and put my trust in Him, that I would be saved. And so that's all at that time I really needed to understand. I just needed to hear that God loved me, that He sent His Son for me, that His Son bore my sins and our sins of the whole human race in His body on the tree, and that He restored everything that Adam had lost, and that we have to receive Him. And I didn't really understand that part either, but I just came down and I said, "Lord," and the Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. And so I received Him. Now, I'm not going to give this away, but I just want to give you an illustration here. I'm going to use Brother Jim here to do that. Jim, I want you to receive this. I'm giving it to you. You received it. And you have it. And you know you have it. When it was in my hand like this, you could believe and believe and believe and believe until you reached out and received. You didn't have it. That's what God wants us to do. We can believe and believe and believe, but until we, by an act of our faith on the Word of God, come and say, "I receive Jesus Christ, I want Him, I want to receive Him," that is a direct act that we have to do. Brother Jim had to reach out and take this. And so everybody that's going to be saved, they're going to have to reach out in faith and act upon the Word of God in order to be saved. Amen? It's not just believing, it's receiving. And so the Bible says that when we receive Christ, He comes into our lives. We don't change our lives by trying to do good things He comes into our lives and rebirths us in our spirit and restores us in our spirit to the being that God wanted us to be in the first place so that we could know God, as he said to the woman at the well. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so when we're born, it's only when we've been born again by the Spirit. So I'm letting some of us know in a way of, as a reminder, that when we were born again, when we came and said, Lord, I need to be saved, please save me, then Jesus came into our heart, rebirthed our spirit. We become a child of God in our spirit being, and God became our Heavenly Father. And now He's there for us, and He wants to supply our needs. And if we'll trust Him and realize and walk with Him, He will do that. Amen? So they were wise. The first thing that they were wise, and we need to be wise, is that they came looking for Him. They didn't come necessarily to get anything after we know Him. We still come to Him. Amen? But it's not necessarily being wise just to come to Him so we can get things. You know, we do need to do that because He wants us to do that. What parent doesn't have a child that doesn't realize when they're young that they have to, little, maybe sometimes even old, they have to come to the parent and say, hey, I need you to do this for me. I need this. I need that. And we're glad to do that for them. Amen? And so they were wise. And so He wants us to come and ask. There's no question about that. But the main reason He wants us to come to Him is so after we realize that He is delivered us through His Son and through His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, and has cleansed us from all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness, He wants us to be thankful. And so they had come not just to get something from Him. As a matter of fact, we're going to see here in a minute, they came, and another reason they were wise is that they came not just to get something from Him, they came to give Him gifts, not to get gifts. But they also came to worship Him. So when He becomes our Heavenly Father and Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior, one of the first things that happens to us as Christians, I know that I did, I loved the Lord before I didn't even know Him. After I became a Christian, I didn't know what all I was supposed to do, but I knew something had changed in me so that I wanted to draw near to Him and I wanted to love Him and thank Him and appreciate, because I knew I didn't understand fully what all it meant and what happened, but I understood that now something had changed in me, and the Bible said I was now a child of God. And I wanted to be wise and thank Him for that. I now worship Him because of what He's done. So they came to worship Him. We need to worship Him. Secondly, they were wise in that they were searching. They were searching. They were looking. That was, I want you to understand that to find the Lord and to find His salvation is not just some casual thing. I can just take it or leave it. We don't need to have that kind of an attitude. If we're going to find the Lord, it needs to be a very important matter to us. And so the wise men were wise in that they were searching for the Lord, and it was an important thing to them. They went out of their way. They went a long ways to find Him. They were searching for Him. This became a priority to them. It was worth their time. It was worth their effort to find Him. And they had to travel a long way to find Him. They had come from the east, verse 1 tells us of Matthew 2. They came from the east, verse 8. They didn't know exactly where to find Him. But they realized, hey, we need to find Him. We know He's King of the Jews, so let's go to Jerusalem and ask somebody there that can tell us where this child, was the King of the Jews, is supposed to be born. And so then the king called to get the scriptures. We're going to talk about that some. They were wise. But then they went to Bethlehem. They departed there and went to Bethlehem. So They were wise in that they were searching, and they weren't just taking it lightly or casually. Let's never, ever take our salvation lightly or casually. Deuteronomy 4:29, so the Bible says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Amen. Isaiah 55 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Matthew 7:7, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." So don't take your Christianity lightly or casually. And those who have not found it yet, if we have anybody listening out there via internet or over the website or something, let them know that if you're going to find the Lord, it's going to take, you just can't treat it as some casual thing. It needs to be an important matter to you. Thirdly, they were wise in that they followed the star. Now, I look at this as though that doesn't mean, as I said, they weren't astrologers or all of that. But somehow God had revealed to them that I am giving my son, the king, and I'm going to show you this star. It was a special star. I don't think it still exists. I think it was specially for them that night to get them to where he was. And the Bible says it wasn't just a star way up there. It was a star that was bright that they saw. And they followed it in a general direction, which was east to Jerusalem, because they understood that that star was where they were going to find the King of the Jews, God's Son. Amen? But then the Bible says, and I understand it this way, that because they had already, when they started out weeks ago from Egypt or wherever they were coming from, going to the east, they'd already seen the star. But the Bible says in this verse that when they saw this star, they rejoiced. So that means the star moved and came and exactly shone right down on top of where Jesus was in the manger, because they had to come, they were having to go to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, and then where in the world were they going to go in Bethlehem to find him? They didn't know where he was, but the star came and shined right on top of the manger where he was. And that's when they rejoiced, because now we know exactly where he is. Amen. So when we start seeking for the Lord and his salvation, in order to be wise, God's going to show us exactly where that path is. He will lighten up the path, or he will lighten up our way to salvation for those who are really seeking the Lord, and he will also always direct them to Jesus. He won't direct them to a doctrine or a religion or a theology. He directs them to a being, Jesus, his Son. Amen? So, the star that they followed, I believe, represents the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit of God drawing us, we can't be saved. When we start seeking the Lord, it's because the Holy Spirit has dealt with us. And he's dealing with us because he doesn't want any to perish, but that all to come to repentance. So when those say, "Oh, I need to get right with God," the first thing the Holy Spirit says, "You need to get right with God." And then the Holy Spirit starts shedding a light on us to let us know, this is how you get in touch with God, through my Son. Amen. I want to be a wise man, don't you? I want to be wise. I don't want to be foolish. So the Holy Spirit leads us. The next thing about the star is that not only did it take them to Jerusalem, where the Jerusalem was supposed to be the house of the Lord. That's where the Lord was supposed to be. Amen. So they knew that. But there, what did they find? They found the Word of God. Amen? So they were wise in that they got the Scriptures. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? I wouldn't have faith to believe God if I didn't hear somebody preach that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son and he died for me and took my sin. So the word, he took me to the word of God and he said, if you'll come and confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm still hoping on that. Amen. 1 John 1 and 9 is for Christians. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're still looking to the scriptures. He took us not only to the place, but he took us by the scriptures. He brought us to the place to where we could be saved. And then that's why he gives us a hunger and a thirsting for the word of God. Amen. So they were wise because they followed the star. They were wise because the Holy Spirit brought them to the word of God. And then they acted upon the word of God. So that brings us to the fourth thing is that they were wise in that they followed the word of God and did what the word of God says. James 2, chapter 1, verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So we act upon the word of God. Amen. If I want to receive something from God, my Father, he takes me to this. Listen. The beginning and the way to get in is the way to continue. It's through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. So that He directs us to His Word, and then we can have these things that we need because we become doers of the Word, and He tells us that we have not because we ask not. And then if we do ask and we don't receive, it's because we ask amiss in James chapter 4. Amen. So He lets us know, you're going to hear my voice. Amen. I want to hear your voice. You have not because you ask not. So ask, but when you ask, ask according to my will. And you'll have the things that you ask. Jesus said, I say unto you, if any man, I was talking to my son the other morning. We were having a good conversation. I said, you know, the scripture says that Jesus said, if you're going to pray, he said, I say unto you, whosoever speaks to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, they shall have what they ask. So I said, he was saying, I'm praying for so-and-so and such. I said, well, that's good to pray for them, but then you need to speak. You need to speak. I find myself... the first time, oh my goodness, I never will get through with all this. That's all. The first time I was learning years ago, I'd already been in the ministry for a while, and I believed and I prayed for a lot of things. And then the Lord said, Lewis, and I'm just going to go not in a long way around, and but basically he said to me, Lewis, you're going to have to learn how to speak to the enemy. You're going to have to speak to the mountain. It won't move. You can believe and believe and believe, but until you speak in faith, it will not move. And so my daughter, my oldest daughter, Rachel, who's involved in the ministry today, thank God, got saved. But let me tell you, 16 years old, she was wild as I was. Worse than I mean, well, nobody could have been as worse as I was. But I thought it was bad. Anyway, it was bad. And I'd been praying and praying and praying and praying. And when the Lord told me this, he said, I want you to go right now. And it was probably about 10 o'clock in the morning. I want you to go right now. I want you to go to the bedroom, shut the door, get on your knees. And I want you to speak. And I'll tell you what to speak. And so I went in there and got on. He said, I want you to speak to the devil and tell him to get his hands off of your daughter in the name of Jesus. I think I literally put my hands on my head because I thought that the devil would jump on me and beat me over the head. Are you with me? And so I was going to be obedient to the Lord, but this is the first time I ever did this. And I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you right now to get your hands off of my daughter in the name of Jesus. Right now. And then I got up. She came home that afternoon, got a Bible, went into her room and shut the door. And I didn't think she was ever going to come out. As a matter of fact, we moved from that house because I lost my job. And we moved from that house, moved over in some apartments, and she had a bedroom upstairs. When she got to the apartment, she stopped doing everything that she was doing that was wrong. She got her Bible, got over there, and she wasn't working. She got over there, and she was going to school, but she got over and got in her room with her Bible. And that's, I think she spent weeks there reading her Bible. Every time I go up there, she was reading her Bible. And I thought, wow, Lord, what have you done? And then he called her into the ministry, called my son into the ministry. He's touched all of our children. Amen? Because he said he would. Amen? Yes, our youngest daughter has been in the ministry. She's been here for years. Finally got wore out after 30 years of playing the piano and leading the music. It's easy to get tired and wore out after a long period of time. So, they were wise in that they followed the Word of God and they spoke the Word of God. They were wise also, number five, they were wise in that they followed the Word of God and did what the Word of God told them to do. Number five, they were wise in that they presented gifts to Him. Verse 11. They presented Him gifts. When one meets the Lord Jesus, he'll always worship Him and will present Him with gifts of His worship. I beseech you, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. Not long after I was saved, God said, hey, I want you. Will you give yourself to me? I'm calling you into the ministry. I didn't even know what that was. As a matter of fact, the night that God told me that, the youth minister of our church was teaching and preaching on a Wednesday night, and he was talking about that being the call of God in our lives. And I heard it, and I felt so strong that I wanted to go. But I didn't know what I was going for. Because back then, in that particular denomination, everybody that I heard surrender today surrendered to be a missionary to China or a missionary to Africa or to be a pastor or to be a teacher or whatever. And so I went to my pastor the next day or just as soon as I could. It wasn't long. I talked to him. I said, you know, I feel God's call in my life, but I don't know whether He wants me to be a missionary to Africa or China, or He wants me to be a pastor or a teacher, or what does He want me to be, a prophet or whatever. And so I don't know what to surrender. He said, Lewis, God will show you that. You just come give yourself to Him. And so the next Sunday morning when He gave the invitation, I came down to the altar and I knelt down and I said, Lord, here I am. Because you love me, I give myself to you. And then he showed me along the way what he wanted me to do and what he wanted me to be. And that was when I was 18 years old, and that hadn't changed since. Although I wasn't perfect. And after he did some things that I didn't like, and He was my Lord, and I was dependent on Him, and some things happened. I told Him to get out of my life. I don't want you. And He did. And so I went off from Corpus to Houston, and for 4 years. The first year, it didn't bother me too much. The second year, it began to bother me. Where is your presence in my life? He said, you told me to get out of your life. And then I started going all over Houston. Billy Graham had, they just built the Astrodome there, and Billy Graham had a revival about the third year that I was back trying to get back right with the Lord. And I thought, well, if I go to Billy Graham's crusade there, maybe I can get back, find the Spirit of God there, and I can get back with him. It wasn't that he really left me. It was just that I didn't know he was there anymore. You know, understand what I'm talking about? And so I went to preachers and churches, and I went everywhere for the last year in my life, that part of that 4 years. I got to thinking, I'm not ever going to get back right with him. I was giving up. My son and our oldest daughter, on Sunday morning, when I was sitting there reading the Sunday paper, not going to church, they would drag all the chairs from the dining room table, take it out in the garage. He set up a pulpit. She led the singing, and he did the preaching. And I was sitting there listening to all of this. And when I had completely just given up that there was no way this was going to happen, I had told God to get out of my life, and he was gone. One Sunday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, a pastor's church that I had visited and had talked to about all this, I don't even remember his name. I remember where his church was. It was way out of Pasadena there on the way to one of those towns over there. He came by my house on Sunday afternoon. All the kids and children were out playing in the front yard, and had his Bible under his arm. And he said, "Lewis?" And I said, "Yeah, I come to the door." I recognized his face. I didn't remember his name. He said, "I'm Brother So-and-so." And he said, "I came here to preach you a sermon." I never had a preacher ever do that. And that man was a man of God, let me tell you. Wish today I could remember his name. I said, "Well, come on in." He said, "Where's your wife?" I said, "She's back in the back." I said, "Hey, Pat, come on in here." When I came into the living room, he was standing there in the living room. He said, "Now, you guys get over and sit on that couch." Stood in the middle of my living room floor and preached me a sermon. I don't even know what he preached. It wasn't a long-winded sermon. And when he got through preaching the sermon, he said, "Now, we're going to have an invitation. Y'all get off that couch and get on your knees." And all I could say was, "Lord, is this when you're going to open the door and let me back in?" And it was. I got up from there, and 3 weeks later, I was pastoring the church in Corpus Christi, Texas. And I thought about this when I talked to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I told you to get out of my life. Why? Did you let me back in?" He said, "Lewis, when you said that, it was just like a little 4-year-old kid saying to his mom and dad, 'I hate you. You don't let blah, blah, blah,' you know." He said, "I'm not going to listen to that." Amen. So he gave me to understand that I was just like a little kid. Anyway, I've got to hurry. I'll never get through with all of this. But they presented him gifts. God wants us to worship him. He wants us to present gifts to him, gifts of our worship to him. And the most precious gift that you have and that I have that we can give to him is ourselves. And since that time, there's been a couple of things in my life. A couple of times in my life when the Lord has told me, I'll tell you the last one. I told Pat, I said, "I need to get away." I was working, pastoring this church, and a lot of things were going on, and I was just literally overwhelmed. Things were happening. I said, "I just need to get away." So I had some friends that have Sunshine Ministries in Hazel, Texas, up by Dallas, and so they said, "You can come up here anytime." So I met them, and I'd known him for a while. He came, they preached at our church here. And so I went up there, and I just went back there, and there's a place I could get in all by myself, just get back there. spend some time with the Lord. And so I got all back right. I just got away and got with the Lord. And of course, that's what he wanted me to do. I was coming back from Dallas, and I was just happy, shouting, praising the Lord. In fact, I think one time on the side of the road, I had to park my car on Interstate whatever 70 or whatever that was, and just get out and raise my hands and praise the Lord, you know, whatever. But anyway, as I was coming from Sinton, I was almost to Gregory when the Lord said to me, Lewis, I want you to say something. And he's not talking to me in an audible voice. You know how you learn how to hear his voice in the spirit. Because our spirit's been born again, renewed and quickened, so we can hear his voice and see. I said, okay, Lord. He said, I want you to say, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll speak what you want me to speak. And so I'm feeling good, and I said, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll speak what you want me to speak. He said, say it again. And I said, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll speak what you want me to speak. He said, say it again. This time I realized what I was saying. And that's what he wanted me to realize. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll speak what you want me to speak. And I said, Lord, I can only do that with your help. I need your help. I'll do that. But I need your help. That's what he wanted me to hear. That's what I wanted to hear. And he wanted to hear from me. I would do it, but he also realized that I needed his strength. We're to work out our own salvation according to Philippians chapter 2, and I think verse 12 and 13. Work out the end of that 12th verse says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Did he put that up on the screen? That's 12:1, but that's good. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So they were wise in that they presented their bodies as a living sacrifice. Then the last thing, they were wise because they traveled another way. They went back. They didn't go back the same way they had come. And when we're wise and God changes our lives, we become new creations in Christ Jesus, we have a different walk. We don't live and walk the same way that we did before. Amen? That's what makes us wise. We went back. Our direction has changed. The directions of our lives have changed. We've changed. And now, we're going a different direction. We're a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, all things become new. We will walk with a new spirit, and we will walk with a desire to please him. That is, we put off, like Ephesians says, we put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We're renewed in the spirit of our minds, and we put on the new man, which after God, or from God, or through God, was created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? The wise men. We want to be wise. Let's do these things. Let's put them into practice in our lives. Amen? Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Anybody has, we have our dismissal prayer. If anybody wants to come here to the altar to pray, or maybe God has spoken to them through this, someone through this message, and he's saying, I want you to give your life to me. I want you to present me your gift. I just pray that you would do that right now and just give your life to him. Either there where you stand, or come to the altar if you want prayer, or you want somebody to agree with you, or whatever. As we close, anybody wants to come, come on at this time. Please come. Thank you. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the true story of the wise man who came to find Jesus and to present unto him gifts and to love him and to experience the reality of what it means to worship him. And we want to do that, Lord. Not just one day, but we give our lives to you. We've made a commitment like you made a commitment to us. We make a commitment to you, Lord. With your help and your strength, this is the way we're going to live for the rest of our lives. We thank you for the time that we've already lived that. By your help and by your strength and by your mercy. Thank you for the gift of your precious Son, the very best that you had. Help us to give ourselves the very best that we have. And really, in the end, Father, we understand we hadn't given really anything because everything that we have, including our life, and our heartbeat, and our breath, comes from you. It's a gift. So we're just giving you back what you've given to us, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. And I hope you're blessed and will continue to be blessed and live blessed. Amen. And not only live blessed, but be a blessing.